The following is a presentation of Remnant.
Light of the world. Hey, this is Jeremiah from Remnant Church. Thanks for listening to us online. You know, we want you to be encouraged and filled with hope through your experience as you listen in. This life can be complicated, even confusing, but it's our hope that you catch a glimpse of God's unconditional love for you and His purpose for your life. Thanks for listening in.
Of God, and not only that, we're made in the image of God as we continue in His names. We got 928 to go, somewhere's in there, so we're getting there. I'm kidding. There's just too much. God is too much. God is too big. God is immense. God has no end. Amen. He's a good God. He's a powerful God. And again, we're made in His image. We need to remember we're made in His image. He created us for a purpose and for a reason. We all have a purpose and a reason for being here. Down from the little kids up to the adults, you're all here for a reason. Young ones, you're all going to grow up one day to be someone for God. Remember that. You're made in His image. So let's pray for this service this morning. God, we love You, Lord, and we thank You. Speak to us this morning, God. Open our hearts, open our ears, and open our eyes to hear from You and see Your glory, God. Holy Spirit, come. And fill this place. God, whatever our week might have had, or just this morning, God, if there was a little bit of confusion and havoc getting here, God, Lord, remove all distractions right now in Jesus' name. And let us get into Your word and speak to our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. We're continuing on this series on the idea of God and all His names. And I did call this sermon, Jeremiah was very, very close. The last S-H-E-M is actually pronounced in Hebrew with a K sound, but it can be pronounced Makadeshim, but it's pronounced Makadeshkim, Jehovah Makadeshkim. That's what we're going to talk about today, amen? That's kind of a weird one. You're probably all wondering, what the heck is Makadeshkim? What are we talking about this morning? Jehovah Makahu, Makades, what? What? Macadamium nut, what? No. Jehovah Makadeshkim. We're going to find out what that means this morning. But before I get into my scripture, we need to remember we belong to God. And there's a story I remember of a pastor sharing on the image of God and who we represent. It's a story of Alexander the Great. Remember him? Great man in history, powerful, ruled the world. And he was just a powerful man. And people were just reverence him. There were fear of him in his presence at times. You had to approach a king or a leader bowing down. So, and Alexander always had these great festivals for his people, for his country. And he would invite everyone. And everyone would show up to this big party sort of like. And he's there on his throne, his army's there, his people, his followers. And every festival he'd sit there and just like, yeah, that's me, that's all me, I got this. I'm rolling, I got this, I'm powerful, I'm God. And he's sitting there in all his power and glory. And one day he's sitting there and he sees two of his commanders coming up with a soldier in the middle. And that soldier in the middle looked young, strong, stout, and good looking and handsome, ladies. Very blonde, green eyes. And he's walking up. And Alexander in his mind, he's saying, yeah, those are my boys, man. I trained them up. Look at that one in the middle, that young stout. He's a powerful soldier. They're going to have some powerful great report of him to me this morning. I'm just going to look even better. So they get there, and King Alexander says, why do you summon me? How may I help you? And the soldiers both look at the man in the middle, and the man and the young soldier looks at the king and puts his head on. He goes, great Alexander, I have something to tell you. Alexander, yes, do tell me, my friend, my son, my great soldier. And the soldier's still holding his head down as Alexander sits there, and the young man puts his head on. He says, King Alexander, we were in battle the other day. And I ran. I fled for my life. And that made Alexander furious. So he runs up and gets in front of him. And the guy just falls to the ground, face to the ground. He's trembling and afraid. Forgive me, oh great Alexander, forgive me. He looks at him, how could you do this? You're in my army. I'm the great Alexander. And he reaches and he puts his foot over the soldier's neck, like to press in. And he goes, soldier, tell me your name. And the soldier goes, my name is Alexander, sir. Oh, that made him more furious. And he looks at him and he tells him, change your name or change your character. Change your name or change your character. And I say this to say this. You Christians here this morning, stand up like that soldier. Do not run from your battles, but run to them. Secondly, stand still, the Bible says, and know that He is God. I know all of us are facing things at times, some harder than others. But know you're in the image of God and you have that power in you. Amen? If you're a Christian this morning, you need to stand strong. And that's what we're going to talk about, getting there into this image of God. Jehovah Makadeshim, the Lord is our sanctifier. That's what that means. And I'll be reading out of Exodus 31, verse 13. Exodus 31, 13 says this, say to the Israelites, God speaking, of course, be sure to observe my days of worship. This will be a sign between me and you for generations to come, so that you will know that I am the Lord who makes you holy. There it is. You will know that I am the Lord who makes you holy. And again, you're probably saying, Jehovah Makadeshim, what does that mean? Well, it is the Lord, the sanctifier. He consecrates us. He separates us. Young ones, you need to know some of these terms of God's names, what they mean, because they're going to come into play in your future when people need answers and they have questions. We need to know who this Jehovah Makadeshim is. Young ones and old ones, all of us here, we need to know God's names and what they mean. The Lord, the sanctifier. And God's will and intention for our lives is very clear here. To live in sanctification and let that process change us. And a lot of us wonder what sanctification means. It's what God does in us. That easy. He'll work in us. Look at 1 Thessalonians 4:7. 1 Thessalonians 4:7 says this. For God has not called us for the purpose of impurity, but in sanctification. There it is. He called us to live sanctified lives. God did not call us to live in sin and do whatever we want. And we're going to mess up sometimes. We're going to slip. But that sanctification is working in us daily, every second of your life. Sanctification is at work. Jehovah Makadeshim. And God's purpose was for us to live for Him. That word right there, impurity, in the text we read, it says, not for the purpose of impurity. That word impurity is pronounced like this, akaarisia. Akaarisia. This is what it means. It means in their language, in this language, open skin infections or leprosy. That's what that word means. In other words, we can get exposed to things in life, physically, spiritually, mentally. It'll get on us if we let it, because This disease is it's a fungal bacteria that came into play when sin came into the world. The whole atmosphere was hit by it because of sin. So now fungus grows anywhere. It grows on animals, on skin, on wood, on walls. And that was due to sin. And it's like our lives. When we go out into our world, into our homes, into our work areas, we can get infected if we're not letting this process of sanctification work in us. That fungi will get on you and it starts spreading. And even back in biblical times, a person that had leprosy had to put on dirty clothes and look very dirty and holler. Someone got near, leper, leper. No, it's back off. I'm a leper. You couldn't get near them. Guess who Jesus came to the most? To the lepers. He touched them. He hugged them. What can I do for you? And at times as Christians, we go out there in this world full of leprosy, and we're over there not even wanting to get near people, trying to help them. This leprosy spreads among the congregation. You can learn from others the bad things as well. It's a skin infection. Do not get infected. Walk and work into your sanctification that God has called us to be. And this infection, this disease God brought in, was only due because lack of disobedience to God. Because of disobedience. Yeah, I know we can't live perfect lives. We're not perfect by far. But in Christ, we can do things. And when Jesus comes back, we're going to be perfected. 100%. But right now, we're open to diseases and infections spiritually, mentally. Our marriages, our families, our homes, our relationships. Are you doing something about the infection? Or just moving on and looking the other way and saying, oh, you know what, they need more help than me. I got this. I'm good. I'm better than you. We'll do that. We will do that. Sin causes that. And back in the days, in leper days, many people died. Sad to say, people died because of the disease. Now, of course, technology, they found cures. But how about your spiritual life? Today, many people have spiritual leprosy. That's a whole nother sermon in itself. But in a nutshell, it's a decaying away and living without Jesus or believing in God. It's a decaying away and living away from God. That's spiritual leprosy. If you feel that way sometimes, that God is distant, you feel God's not answering your prayers, you just feel not right, it's because that decay wants to kick in. But remember, you're in the image of God. You're being sanctified. And a lot of times we'll believe that in our mind and we'll live and we're all down and now believing never, nothing will ever change. The circumstance will never turn because you're letting that leprosy, your spiritual leprosy, get the best of you. I have faced some giants myself as a Christian man in life, in marriages, in situations, with my kids, with jobs. But I had to stand in what God said, and He saw me through. I didn't want the decay to cling on me. There was times, I've told you before, my prior marriage and my prior wife that passed away, it was my daughter and their two girls and her against me sometimes at the house. But I stood on what God said. And all I could do was pray for them. I couldn't go up to them and tell them, honey, you're wrong. No, I would just step back and pray for them and pray for them because it was 3-1 at the house. There were three, but I had God. Right? And then the in-laws would get in the picture, the tias, the aunts. I still got God. He's bigger than all of my ancestors. I said, God, you got me, right? You got, look at them. They're coming. We got God. The creator of the world, the universe, of everything we can see. Amen. I get excited too, sister. I'm just holding back right now because I got a sermon to preach. I'd be doing backflips. Let's stay away from that fungicide. It'll get us, guys. Spiritual leprosy can only be healed by what? The blood of Jesus. Only through the blood of Jesus can we be sanctified. Then the process will work in us if you let it. This is true sanctification in action. You want to see a biblical true story in action of sanctification? Here it is. Genesis 39:9. No one in this house is greater than I. He's kept nothing back from me except you because you're his wife. How could I do such a wicked thing and sin against God? See, this is the story of Joseph in the Old Testament, where all his brothers sold him to slavery. They beat him up. He went to a prison. I mean, he suffered. But he never stopped remembering God. He was in prison. He was in dungeons. And little by little, God started raising him up. That's why some of you are facing these situations that look just no way. Look at Joseph. Kicked to the curb by his whole family. Sold to slavery. Suffered many years. He became a man in prison. Grew up. Got mature. But God started training him up, using him. Because Joseph never stopped believing in God and trusting that he was there. He didn't want that spiritual decay, that spiritual leprosy that can cling to us. It's funny here, he becomes part of his commander's, he ran the house. He said, you could have everything. You want to watch TV, you want to ride the elliptical, you want to go run in my track, you want to ride my horses, metaphorically speaking, today's time. You want to go to the movies, I got you. You can have anything you want in my house, just stay away from my wife. And he did. And when the moment came, the trial came, the pressure came, who was he thinking of? How can I do this to God? No, this is wrong. But as humans, our spiritual leprosy kicks in. And we'll almost all the time say the wrong thing, do the wrong thing, or think the wrong thing. Instead, let's just pray. Ask God to help you and to help them. Pray. Joseph ran. He goes, this is wrong. I serve God. This is not me anymore. I was that man. I struggled with many things in my life. And I still have certain issues personally. I'm human just like you. I have bad thoughts. I want to sometimes curse. But the next second I go, God, forgive me, Lord. I'm sorry. That was wrong. And I'll go to that person. You know what? I was wrong. It's that easy. The quicker you forgive, the quicker it goes away. But if you don't, you're not trying to work in that sanctification God has called us to. That bacteria just grows. And Joseph knew how to use it. Here, it's in here. I'm going to show you a quick illustration so you guys can see sanctification at work. I'm going to use my beautiful wife. Honey, come up here. Put your Bible down. You don't need it right now. Bring a bag. Bring your purse. Bring your drink. Watch this. This is a visual illustration. Jesus always used visual, and sometimes they work. And let's say right here down the middle, right here, this is the line where God is calling people. That's the drawing the line there. We're in the world over there. And God, Olivia, my wife, says, okay, Lord, I'm going to change. I want to live for you. Jesus, come into my heart. So come on in. She comes in. Okay, wait, stop right there. Here's the line, guys. When she crosses right here, tell me what changes about her, because now she's going to receive the Lord. She's going to live in sanctification. Okay, watch her when she crosses. Cross the imaginary line. Did she change? You look nice, by the way. I have another thought, but we'll talk later. Did she change in any way? No. You see, God pulls you in to sanctification. Okay, now you're living for the Lord, right? Honey, you get mad too much. This has to go, okay? We're going to get rid of this. Back to the other side. He starts working on you, and you start living for Christ. This has to go. You're having too many thoughts. Your mind's going a million miles an hour. You're even getting ahead of me. Come on, I'm God. Okay? She's still on sanctification side. Can she blow it? Yeah. She'll still mess up, but she's already came. She's crossed. The Lord has drawn her. Sometimes there's that one thing that God goes, let me take this from you. And no, come on, you got to let go. Come on, you got to let go. Sometimes we're clinging to that one thing. And that's where the sanctification, God's never going to stop tugging at that one thing. And guys, let me tell you something. Sanctification is good for us because sometimes it's one thing, like Paul said, I have a sty in my flesh, a thorn in my flesh. That reminds us that God is working. That's telling you this is sin and this has to go. And sometimes it's hard to let go. But boy, when you let go now, you can let go. We practice, it didn't come out too good. So you let go. This part you just saw her let go. Thank you, honey, you can sit down. That part where she let go, give her a hand. Great job. And I needed to do that, and I'll tell you why. I did this for a reason. That part where she finally let go of that bottle. I'm going to tell you a personal story I think I've shared. I raised up three girls, two that were not my daughters, one was my daughter. And when my daughter would come visit with my new family, with my biological daughters, I would kick them to the curb and just give attention to my daughter. And one day, like I told you before, God said, Frank, you're wrong. This is sin. You need to sit all three of them down and tell them you're their dad, all three of them the same. There's no more favoritism, and that's got to stop. Like, oh, God, I'm so scared to do that. My daughter's going to break her heart. Well, who do you love more, your daughter or me? You want me to change your life? You want your family to get stronger? Trust me. So I did. And I did it that day. And then my daughter went home back to her mom that same weekend. I got home. They're all gone from the house. My prior wife used to go to Mexico. They're gone. I'm home alone. Got home from work. Went straight to the bedroom. Started praying. That moment that Olivia finally let go of that bottle, I started crying and praying. And he's literally in the spiritual realm, something I could not see, but I felt like a piece of gum you're trying to get off your shoe and it stretches. He's pulling, let go of your daughter. You're still holding on to her. Let her go. I'm going to heal you. And when I'm gasping before I let go. And I let go and I can breathe. I felt this huge load come off. And from that day forward, when all the three girls were before me, I looked at them the same. That's sanctification. That's God working in it. And sometimes you got to just let it go, as scared as it might be, as frightening as it might be, as doubting as it might be. God's got it. You've been sanctified. The Bible says we are free in Christ. There's freedom in the presence of Jesus. We're free, guys. You're free. We put the bars up. We come back to the light of sanctification. No, you're over here now. You're living for God. And sometimes you are going to blow it, but you've been sanctified. And that's what the illustration stands for. It's positional. And my first point is this. Sanctification separates us from the penalty of sin. Sanctification separates us from the penalty of sin, which is justification. To be born in Christ means you're going to start living in a new state of mind, a new state of being. That do you become holier than thou overnight? No, you never become holier than thou. You just work your life out in Christ and let him work through you. That's what it is. That's what sanctification and being separated from the penalty of sin. It justification means this. Help you remember what justification, how you can say it. Just as I never sinned. Just as I never sinned. Because Jesus already paid it on the cross. The blood of Jesus has set us free. We've been sanctified. And that's what that means. We're going to blow it sometimes. But Jesus died for that too. Look at Acts 13:39. Everyone who believes in him is declared right with God. Something the law of Moses could never do. You see, the law points us back to the Old Testament, the Ten Commandments, and every law that was written in the Levitical book, and all the Torah. Yeah, it still stands, but Jesus came and broke all that. That all the law does, it points us to where we can blow it at. It points us to sin again. Look, you shouldn't be doing these things, but now you're in Christ. That's what that means. And people say, no, well, you got to stand in the Old Testament, the Ten Commandments. Yeah, they still stand, but Jesus broke all that. The blood on the cross. He was the last fulfillment of God's wrath to deliver us from sin. When we cross the sanctification, does it make us perfect? No, we're being worked on. And that's what it says. The law could never do that. Jesus had to come and declare us right with God. You cannot come to God any other way but through the Lord Jesus Christ. Period. Amen. Amen. Give him a hand. It's Jesus. It's only through Jesus. And I put this, look, it says our experiences in life, the things we go through, it's either going to change us or waste us. The things you're going through are going to better you or make you run. That's the whole process. We need work, all of us, from the pastors down to the pew sitter. There's no one holier than thou in God's kingdom. We're all brothers and sisters. We're all equal in God's eyes. The Bible says he has no favorite. He's equal with everyone. Yeah, my son, you blew it, but I love you and I want to help you through this. But a lot of times we want to run the other way. We see the thing in front of us and say, this will never change. Well, let God work in you. Let that sanctification take its process. Everyone who believes in him. That means anybody. Doesn't matter what walk of life you are. Jesus will take you in. Teenagers, Jesus will help you. Young ones, Jesus will help you. Marriages, Jesus will help you. Adults, Jesus will help us. He carries me every day of my life. I cannot live without Jesus in my mouth and in my mind. Am I perfect? No, I'm a sinner saved by grace. I'm working my sanctification through Jesus Christ. I want him to change me daily. I need that work inside of me, that deep work. God will never leave us alone. He'll see you through it till the end. He'll see through the end. Look at Philippians 1:6. Philippians 1:6 says, I am convinced that God, who began this good work in you, will carry it through to the completion of the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. He's never going to leave you, whatever you're going through. He's going to be there till the end, till Jesus comes back, or we roll up this tent and go with Jesus. It's an ongoing process. Sanctification is needed. Jehovah Makadeshkim, we need to let him work. Our Lord, the sanctifier. Yes, we'll sin, but sanctification is working in us to change us and help us. You need to grasp that. Our sanctifiers also separates us from the penalty of sin and also, secondly, from the power of sin. Sanctification separates us from the power of sin. What is this? Maturity. This is where a lot of Christians fall short because of the maturity. That word right there. We sometimes get ahead of God. I'm out of here. I know what I'm doing. Or you know what? This is not for me. I don't think God called me to this. All that's immaturity because you're not waiting on God. And some of us think, I'm going to wait on God. By next Sunday, I'll have an answer. I'll know what to do. No. God's time is not our time. Like Jeremiah spoke the other day. He's in a whole other time frame. See, folks, if he gave us what we wanted from one week to another, we'd forget about him. Let's say you get that job by next week or your relationship is restored next week and you start living the way you want to. And where's God? Sometimes it takes longer for us because God knows it needs to go deeper in you to work in you to truly change. For that sanctification to truly take effect. Because some of us can really fake it. We can really look good. I'm fine. No, I didn't fight with my wife. No, I didn't lose job. Who told you that? No. Behind my rent 3 months? Oh, you're no kidding. It happens, folks. My teenager ran away from home? No, it doesn't happen in this house. It happens in every home. And the Lord understands. He loves everyone, guys. He loves you. He loves them. Amen? It's that process. We need to know that we're convinced that God will finish this work in us. I'm sold out, folks. I tell people I'm going to preach till I die. I'm going to be in my dying bed, play some worship, crank it up, Victor, because I'm going to Jesus. I want you all laughing and partying. Bring me a steak before I die if I can chew it. My prior wife, that's what she wanted. She said, honey, I think I'm going to leave in a week or two. She knew when she was going to die. Called the girls over, and I was like, no, you're not. And sure enough, she left when she said. But she said, do this, do that, have a party. Some of you were there. We had a party. Death is scary. Yeah, but it's a beautiful thing. Ecclesiastes 11, I think it's verse 2. It says, it's better on your day of death than your day of your birthday. It's better to die than to have a birth. That's what God is saying. You know why? Because God is waiting for us. And all this huge, huge part is going to be waiting for us. So right now, right here, we got to make the best of it. We got to take every moment as an opportunity to show Jesus, to work in that sanctification. God does that. And we need him to help us. Our experiences are going to change us or waste us, guys, and God will see us through it. Our sanctifier also separates us from the penalty of sin and the power of sin. We know that. How does maturity take place in our life? How does sanctification separate us from the power of sin? Let's look at what God says in verse 13 of that text this morning. It says this, be sure to observe my days of worship. The very first verse and only verse I chose to speak out of this morning. That's where maturity kicks in. How does that work? Be sure to observe my days. What's he asking us to do? First and first, utmost importantly, observe. Huh? What does that mean? Observe. The word in Hebrew. Shamar. It means to attend, carefully to keep, or guard. That's what we do. We guard everything and protect it that pertains to God and your spiritual life. A lot of times we say, you know what, I don't feel like going to church. I had a long week. I deserve it. Oh, man, let me turn the TV on. Bring me something to drink. Like slave, bring me something to drink. Yeah, you deserve it. But how do you want to end or start your week? For me, Sundays is the beginning of my week. It's not the end of my week. My day starts Sunday, right here, right now. This is what helps me make it through the rest of the week. Are you guarding it? Are you tending to it? Are you giving God a little bit more time? Are you willing to sacrifice some time? My wife is witness. I wish I had more time to practice my drums for some of these songs. I don't. I actually don't anymore. I practice here with Victor and the guys. We get here early. But I make time for counseling. I make time for some of your textings at night or during my day at work. I don't text me. I'm not saying don't. Do it more. And I'll answer you. I'll get back to you sooner or later. I will get back to you. But I don't care because it's not about me. It's about what I want God to do through me to help the church, his people. We're dominoes, guys. We're like dominoes. We all affect each other. If someone in your church is hurting, the whole church is going to hurt. Some of you have children. What about when they're sick? Oh, mommy, I got... oh, you sympathize with them. You feel down too. Come here, son. Come here, daughter. Here, take this. It hurts you, right? We're the same. God is the same with all of us. We need each other. We need to be praying for each other. Most of you should be in Bible studies through the week. Sunday's not enough, folks. Yeah, he says you better make sure you're guarded. But this can be in general. If you know you have time for a Bible study, even read your Bible at home, do it. Guard it. Make the best of that opportunity. Observe, he says. Observe what? His days of worship. It says, my days of worship. That word is pronounced Shabbat, the Lord's day. Go to church. Oh, you know what? I watch church every Sunday on TV. I like this pastor. He's got a big church, and I watch it on TV. No. Hebrews 10:25 or 10:26, somewhere in there, it says, do not forsake the gathering of the saints. You need to gather. Because there in your home, you're just closed up. You're not connecting, fellowshipping. Maybe that day you missed, someone needed to talk with you. You can share a testimony, or just your presence alone lifts them up. Because every Sunday when we're here setting up, I like to stand there sometimes and greet you because you guys pump me up. I get excited when I see you. Does it show? It should, man. If not, you guys are blind or need glasses. You guys give me excitement. Just, yes, God, they're here. And now I'm here and we're going to praise you. We're sinners saved by your grace and we're all going to work in this sanctification. Jehovah Makadeshkim is going to work on us. Maturity and separation from the power of sin only comes through Jesus. Look at Hebrews 10, 14. Really quick, before I get into that scripture, there's another translation for the my days of worship. Also, it's pronounced Shabbat. It means intermission. Shabbat also means slow down. Make that time. Some of us are going around in our lives and at home 100 miles an hour, man. Oh, I got to do this, got to do that. Slow down. Remember the Lord's Day. That's why sometimes we need to come on Sunday. So, oh, God, I'm glad I'm here. Do to me what you need to, Lord. I need you. You can do that here at Remnant. Like Victor says, you can get up and dance and sing. You can come up here and pray, whatever you want. Just have an intermission with God. That also means observe my days of worship. Every day worship God. Worshiping God is how you live your life. Not just Sundays. Well, I went to church this week. I'm good for the week. No, you're not. No, you're not. There's going to be some landmines we're going to hit on the way. Oh, man, I can't believe that happened. Oh, I'm so angry. Well, wait till next Sunday then. It's a long way. Guys, I miss you from Sunday to Sunday. I know I don't get a chance to talk all of you individually, but it seems like I haven't seen you forever. And it was just a week. Yeah, some of you I congregate with. We do fellowship time. We do Bible studies. We live by each other, but a lot of you I don't. And it's like I miss you guys. It seems like forever when I see you, I am fired up. I told my brother Frank, where are you, brother Frank? Right here. We're standing, Frank, I'm pumped, man. I almost told Frank holding me because I got to go, man. I got to go tell him about Jesus. That should be every day when you wake up. That sanctification has that power. Jehovah Makadeshkin can give you that power. But you need to choose it. You need to run after it. It's funny, Zeus, when he prayed, he said, God, come chase us. No, we need to be God chasers, Holy Spirit chasers. We need to go after it, just like we go after those other things that are ungodly. We go after that. We don't miss those appointments. We don't forget those things. Why not turn it around and do that for God? God, I'm seeking you. God, I'm going to pray. God, I'm going to start going to Bible studies. I'm going to somehow get more connected weekly, God. God chasers. And then sanctification really grows. So maturity and separation from the power of sin only comes through Jesus. Back to Hebrews 10, 14. By one offering, it says, by one offering, he has perfected for all time those who are what? Sanctified. Have you been sanctified this morning? Have you been sanctified this morning? Are you living a sanctified life? If you're a Christian, you've been sanctified. And God is working in you. He's the only offering that fulfilled to separate us from sin and the power of sin. Jesus is the only one that can help you, guys. Whatever you're facing, days can get crazy. In a second, things can go downhill really quick. In a second. I know some of you have experienced that this week. You're like, oh my gosh. Crash and burn, baby. But before you hit the ground, hit your knees and pray so the Holy Spirit will bring you back up. Amen. Amen. Woo! That one wasn't in my notes. When you're crashing and burning, you're going to, before you hit the ground, hit your knees and the Holy Spirit will bring you back up. That was cool. That was not in here. God is so good. And all the time. Also, hearing God's word, reading God's word, connecting with other believers is one of what's going to keep us strong. And remembering Jehovah Makadeshkim, our Lord, the sanctifier. That's what's going to keep us strong. You can't do it alone, folks. And whatever you're going through, you're not alone. Others are going through it. Others have went through it, so you can hear their testimony. And the Holy Spirit says, hey, you, wake up. See, they want to help you. You're like, oh, what? Sometimes we need that. Wake up. You're not alone. I'm an ex-drug addict, ex-alcoholic. I'm not proud of it, but it gives testimony to God for anyone that's in it or struggling with it now. He's delivered me. He can deliver you. I almost lost marriages in my past. Jesus saved my marriage. He can save yours. You can't get along with someone. You want to choke your boss or your children sometimes. Jesus can help you too. Go to your knees. Don't go to the belt. And sometimes, kids, I'm sorry, the Bible says if we spare the rod, you spoil the child. Sometimes we ask for it, and we got to get that licking. We have to, because it's good for you, because you'll remember next time, you know what, my friend, we did this last time. I'm not going to do this today. I'm going to call my mom and my dad right now. Come pick me up quick. Please hurry. I'm falling weak here. We do that, kids, and it's gonna come, those days, young ones. Remember the lickings and say, you know, I remember that one. When I was a kid, I think I've told you, they hit me so much. I was in trouble all the time. They spanked me so much, it wouldn't hurt no more, so we'd get saliva. Oh, put it on our eyes. And mom and, oh, we're hurting them. We better stop. We're like, that's how much trouble I got into. But it wouldn't even hurt no more. But we're faking it. But children, listen to your parents. Remember those things they try to instill in you. It's good for you. Young ones, I never wanted to listen to my parents. And they were all the wrong choices. They were all the wrong choices. But now I know. And now God's wanting me to tell you, young folks, listen to your parents. They have wisdom. We've been around the park 10 times, and you're barely going halfway. Oh, we got it, Mom, Dad. You guys are old. You don't know what you're talking about. Hey, where'd this pit bull come from? Try to tell you. We've been around that park. That's how it works. And young ones, sometimes you think they're wrong. Sometimes parents don't have the right answers. But if you can sit down, as parent and children, talk to each other, pray with each other, or your marriages, whatever it might be. You need to sit down and connect. Don't just assume or judge or think things. Call them to the carpet. Sit with them and talk with them. Amen? Only Jesus can help all those things. We need to hear God's word, read God's word, and connect with believers. Look at Jesus' prayer in John 17:17. John 17:17. Jesus said this, sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth. This text here is when Jesus is going to ascend already. He's going to leave. And he's praying for his people. And whose truth? Jesus. Who's the word of truth? Jesus. What's this? The word. And who's in here? Jesus. This is what's going to help us sanctified lives. This is the only thing that has brought me ahead and given me this passion and joy and to come serve here at Remnant with Jerry and Jeremiah at such a wonderful church. God called me to this and I'm clinging to it. And my mission for the Lord is to continue to open my mouth and tell you these truths that sometimes hurt or irritate or offend, but it's in here. I will not sugarcoat it. I need to say it the way God gives it to me. I give it to the church. God, Frank, tell the church. Talk to them about sanctification. My name is Jehovah Makadeshkim. Explain to them. When this vision came to Jeremiah, hey guys, and Jerry, let's talk about God's names. It was perfect. It's not from us. God instills the subjects to us to bring it to the church. We are in the last days, folks. We need to know about God and his return and how we should be living before he shows up. You need to have your lanterns filled up with his word, your life in Christ, because like the 10 virgins, five of them didn't have any oil. They weren't reading. They weren't praying. They weren't testifying. They weren't coming real to those people and telling them their truths instead of holding it in, hiding it. Tell them. Fill your lantern with Jesus' truth. Amen. I love you guys. Thank you. I wasn't worried. God helps us to the end. He will always be there. Also, sanctification not only separates us from the penalty of sin, the power of sin, but also from the presence of sin. The presence of sin. Lastly, sanctification separates us from the presence of sin, which is glorification. This is glorification. This is the third sense is complete and ultimate sanctification. This is when our body's going to change when Jesus comes back or we take our last breath. We live in a world that people want to be glorified. Oh, yeah, look at me. Give me glory. I did all that. You know, there's people that do that. I did that. I did this. I did. No, you didn't. God gave you the skills to do that. I hear it at work all the time. I heard it again yesterday at work. We had a long day, and a couple of the guys came in the warehouse. They couldn't get to some stuff with the forklift. By the grace of God, I got really good on this forklift. I can whip donuts and do all these. I'm just quick on it. I got really good, and I boast in Christ. And I whipped it out without thinking. I'm talking to them, and I brought the pallet down. And one guy's just standing there going, Frank, how do you do that? I go, oh, I went like this, and I went like that. He goes, no. He goes, hey, this is what he told me. I know you're married. He said this, I know you're married, but if you were single, you could tell the chicks these cool stories, how quick you are with a forklift. You can impress them. Like, what? He told me this. He's single. But he was impressed. And you know what's the first thing that came out of my mouth when he said, man, you're good on that forklift. How do you do it? Jesus Christ. It's the Lord. It's the Lord. You have skills in you, folks. You have abilities. Use them. Don't let that doubt, that fungal spiritual decay kick in. Stand and know that you belong to God, that you're a part of a church and you serve at Remnant and you're part of that family and you're doing some type of ministry, even if it's just weaving or cooking for someone or praying for people. It's ministry. Pray for the people in this church. You see the list every Sunday. Like Victor said, write a name down, write it in your Bible. So when you open it, read for that, pray for that person, then read your scriptures. We're a family. And guess what? When we go to heaven, we're going to see each other forever. Forever. Wherever, Lupe. Whoa. Hey, Lupe, again for the millionth time. Hey, Lupe, again for the kalillionth time. I can't wait. Our attitude can be poor sometimes. I'm going to be next to that. Hey, let me say this. What if Jesus came back right now? You're going to be next to that person for eternity. Oh, what? No way, Lord. Don't come yet. Rejoice, man. When you're suffering, Paul says rejoice. You know when you're suffering? We don't see it. I've said this before. Aromas go up to God. And he goes, yeah. They're going through it, but they're still calling on my name. They can't make the rent. They're having physical issues, but they're calling on. Oh, I love it. That's what God does. There are aromas to him. When Jesus was beaten on the cross, oh, yes, son, you're going to come and be glory. You're going to sit next to me, son. You did a great job. He was the Son of God. He went through it. A lot of us want to quit and run when they offend us with the word or they thought something about you or they took your parking. Jesus didn't give up going on the cross. He didn't give up on you. Why should we give up? Marriages are ready to quit right now. We forget about the cross and the sanctification process Jesus went to do it for us. To save that marriage. To save that relationship. To make Remnant grow. Jesus died for all that. Amen? The glorification. Look at 1 Thessalonians 5:23. Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you entirely. Entirely. When I showed you the illustration, Olivia just didn't just step in halfway and said, okay, I'm good now. No, entirely. You're entirely sanctified, it says. And may your spirit and soul and body be preserved complete without blame at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Our whole body's going to change, folks. We're going to have a new body. A new name. There's not going to be no more sickness, no more crying, no more tears. We're going to get it here to be ready for there. Yeah, some of you have suffered or are probably suffering, but you're going to be glorified one day. And that all is going to be gone and forgotten. Because in Revelation 22:1, I believe it says, all things will be wiped away. All things will be new. We're not going to remember none of this. So why be concerned? Why worry and doubt so much? Why anger so much? Why hate that person so much? Why give up on your marriage so quickly? Make it count right now so you can get that glorified body. Sanctification separates us from the presence of sin. Because folks, I know all of you in this room know what's going on in this world, across your neighborhood, family members, friends at work. A lot of bad things are happening. People killing each other. Pastors committing suicide. The list goes on. Countries where people are blown to smithereens just because of their religions. And we live in a country so free and so blessed, and we offend each other with words and our minds. That triggers it. Little things. Remember of that glorified body you're going to get. Glorification. Yes, sanctification will take a lifetime. But it's worth it. It's going to be worth it, guys. The glorified state will be our ultimate separation from sin. Look at Colossians 3:4. Colossians 3:4. When Christ, who is our life, is revealed, then you also will be revealed in him in what? In glory. Make it count now. Make it count now. You're either going to choose to work on it and work on that spiritual decay you're going through, that leprosy, or you're going to run. That's it. There's no other way around it. You're either going to work on it or run from it. You make the choice. It's your choice before God. We're not here to judge you. We're here in hopes to teach you what Jesus would say. Amen? Worship team, come on up. I want to close with a song that should be our prayer. Because sanctification will take a lifetime. Listen to this. Never completely perfected until Jesus returns. We must resist and flee sin. The presence, press on, take hold, have a goal, strain toward, and read and apply the word of God. We need to apply it. We need to go after it. We need to chase God. Not that he's running from us, but we're quickly running the other way. Amen?
Light of the world. You've been listening to a presentation of Remnant. For more information, visit us at remnantchurchonline.com. You